tonight to the book of Judges. And we'll give the live stream just a second to catch up. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 is where we're going to find our place tonight. We want to talk tonight, we're in this series, Under Pressure, and tonight we're going to talk about something a little bit different, something you might not think about a lot as far as pressure that can come, but we're going to talk about changes in leadership, changes in leadership. The reality is every one of us are, almost every one of us, we're leading somebody. If you're a parent, you're leading your children, a grandparent's leading their grandchildren and their children. If you're an older sibling, you're leading younger siblings. Pastors are leading people. Maybe you have a position of leadership in your job. All of us have influence on other people. We're all leading someone, and we're all following someone. And there are always changes in leadership. A lot of the kids have just gone back to school, and there's a change in leadership. They had a teacher that they were with all last year, maybe, and now they've got new teachers that they're dealing with. And in churches, there's changes in leadership. Sometimes churches go through changes when the pastor is called somewhere else, or maybe something else happens, or maybe the church calls somebody else on staff to help, and there's changes in leadership all the time, and that's a pressure that can happen. And obviously, we're looking at a big election this year in America, and there may be changes in leadership, and that's going to bring a lot of pressure. And we want to learn tonight some biblical principles to how to respond to changes in leadership. We look to the Old Testament. For a long time, Israel had enjoyed stability in a succession of strong leaders. Now, you think about how God raised up Moses to lead them out of Egypt and through the wilderness, and all of the great leadership that Moses provided for the people during that time in their wanderings in the wilderness. For 40 years, God was with them, and Moses led them. But then God raised up another leader after Moses. Do you remember who that was? Anybody? Who came? What? Joshua. Yeah, God raised up another young man. You remember he was the servant. He was Moses' minister. He was a servant to Moses. And God raised Joshua up to lead the people after Moses died. Moses died on the other side, and Joshua was one to lead the people over the Jordan River into the promised land and led them for a good long time. He led them. But then we're going to find there came a time after the death of Joshua that there was not a strong leader to step up and lead the people, and we see what happened at that time. So if you're able, let's stand together, and we're going to look in Judges chapter 2, verse 7. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. And Lord, we are in need of your grace today and every moment of every day. And I pray you'd pour out your grace on us tonight. We pray that you'd forgive our sins and our shortcomings and help us, Lord, to just focus our hearts and our minds and all of our attention and strength on your word during this time. Pray that you'd help me to present your word according to the power of your spirit. And I pray that you work in our hearts. Lord, help us and convict our hearts in the areas where we are leading others to lead in a biblical way. And Father, where all of us are following someone else, Lord, help us to follow in a biblical way. And Lord, let us learn things tonight that will help us to serve you in a greater way now and all the days of the rest of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. It didn't take long for Israel to abandon their faith and start serving idols. What once was a nation that revered the Lord became just overrun with wickedness and vile practices. Generally, it seemed that the spiritual temperature of Israel was dependent on the spiritual temperature of the leader. When Moses was leading the people followed Moses and they followed God. When the people followed Joshua and they followed God. And Joshua had had such a huge impact on the elders, which would be the leaders of the tribes of Israel, that their leadership was impacted by Joshua so much that they were able to lead the tribes for a while. But when that generation passed away, another generation came up that did not follow God. They didn't know what God had done because there was a failure in the people learning to follow God instead of following a man. It is absolutely vital that you and I have a real, abiding, personal relationship with God. If your relationship with God depends on some person, then you will not faithfully serve God through the days of your life. Let me give you this example. If my relationship with God is dependent on my dad's relationship with God, well, one day, my dad's going to get called home to heaven. And if my relationship with God is dependent on my dad on earth, then when he dies, my relationship with God dies with him. There are a lot of people whose relationship with God is dependent on their pastor. And listen, I plan to be here until God calls me somewhere else, or God calls me home, and I hope it's a real long time. But the reality is, I could die tomorrow. And if your relationship with God is dependent on your pastor, then your relationship with God goes with me. And that's not right. And we see, and any of you that have been in churches for very long, you've seen it, where a person's relationship with God depends on the pastor. And so goes the pastor, so goes the relationship. God calls that man somewhere else, and they just slip right on out the church with them. Not some other church, just gone. He's not there, so they're not there. And friends, it ought not to be so. Your dedication and commitment has to be to God. Your relationship with God has to be personal. It can't be lived out vicariously through someone else. And I think we see some evidence. We see some evidence that Israel's relationship with God was dependent completely on their leaders. We look at their story, you go, what in the world happened? I mean, when they lost their leader, their faith began to falter. Was their faith that shallow in the first place? Were there things that they could have done to avoid the emptiness that happened after Moses and Joshua died? Even more importantly, how should we respond when we have a change of leadership? Does what happened to Israel have to happen to us? Do we have to see a generation come up that doesn't follow God? And I would say to you, God forbid. God forbid. We need some grandpas and grandmas who love God genuinely and teach their children and grandchildren to love God genuinely. We need some moms and dads who have a real, genuine walk with God, who can be an example to their children that they would have a real, personal walk with God. We need some teachers in our church. We got some teachers in the back right now, and on Sunday mornings, we need some of them that will help point the students that are in their class not to follow them, but to follow God. And I hope to be a pastor that never would ask you to follow me, but would lead you to follow God. Now, I wouldn't try to build myself up, but I would point you to follow God. And so we want to learn about that tonight. And whatever influence you have, and it's easy, you know, pastor, parent, those are kind of easy. But just understand tonight that all of us have some influence, and all of us can be influencing those around us to follow God. Follow God. Are we relying on God, or are we relying on the leader? Where we place our confidence makes a massive difference to how we respond to the pressure of life. Now, when you study the book of Judges, you see a repeating cycle. Most of you have at least read the book of Judges. And what happened? Well, they turned away from God. They didn't follow God anymore. They turned back away from God because Joshua and those elders were gone. And they began to serve Balaam. And as they worshiped idols, God was angry with them. And God sent other nations to come in and bring persecution on them because they turned against God. That was the covenant. They agreed to it. Joshua asked them before he died, you need to choose you this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the gods on the other side of the flood? You're going to serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? Or are you going to serve the God of heaven? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you remember that great challenge. Oh, we're going to do it. We'll serve God. And God said, if you serve me, I'll bless you. And if you serve other gods, I will curse you. And so other nations came in, began to persecute them. And when it got bad enough, they would cry out to God for mercy. And God would raise up a judge who would lead the people back to worshiping God and who would conquer their enemies. And everything would be better for a little while. Right? But then when things got good and they got comfortable, they would begin to turn away from God and turn back to the false gods. And they would go back into idolatry and God would get angry and God would send judgment and they would cry out to God and God would raise up a judge and lead them back to worshiping God. And this cycle happened over and over and over in Judges. And I don't know about you, but when I study Judges, I kind of feel like it's a picture of my life sometimes. Man, things get bad. You cry out to God, oh, God, help me. And God helps you and things get better and you kind of get on cruise control and pretty soon you start to slack off in your devotion. Things get bad again, so you cry out to God. And I think there are a lot of Christians that are stuck in that Judges cycle. It doesn't have to be that way. We can keep our focus on the Lord no matter what our circumstances are. We need to learn to follow the leader. Leaders have tremendous impact. Can you imagine Europe, Great Britain, during World War II without Winston Churchill? I mean, if you've studied history even a little bit, you've heard some of the great things that Winston Churchill said and the way that he led his people and held them together against terrible odds. You just, when you think about that place and during that time, you have to think of him. Can you imagine the United States of America without George Washington? Can you imagine? I mean, this man and all that he accomplished and all that God did through his life helped to shape the nation that we are today. Leaders can have a tremendous impact. Almost all of us are leaders in some way, and we want to look at this idea of leadership today. Now, I'm going to need you to work with me tonight. I'm going to need you to internalize this in both aspects. A lot of what I'm going to say, it's really going to come through the lens of looking at the church and the role of the pastor as a leader and the church. But I need you to take that and apply it to yourself. In areas where you're a leader, apply it to yourself as a leader. If you're a parent or a grandparent or you've got some people under your work or maybe you just got some siblings or whatever, I also need you to internalize it when it comes to following, because all of us are following somebody. All of us are following somebody. Listen, I'm a pastor and I'm a father, but I am still following other people. I'm a follower. There are authorities in my life, and all of us ultimately need to learn to follow the Lord biblically. All right, so let's learn some principles for biblical leadership tonight. Principles for biblical leadership. Notice, first of all, biblical leaders have a personal, abiding walk with God. Biblical leaders have a personal and abiding walk with God. I can't hope to lead you to walk with God if I'm not walking with God. Guide others to look to Christ, and to do that, you have to have a walk with God yourself. Now, I don't think there's a grandparent or a parent in the room that would say that would not say, I have a heart to see my family have a real walk with God. I think every parent, grandparent in the room would say, I want my kids and my grandkids to have a real walk with God. Well, if you want to see them have a real walk with God, then you're going to have a real walk with God. We've got to lead by example. We need to look at our relationship with the Lord and ask ourselves some hard questions tonight. Is your relationship with God genuine? Is it real? Is your relationship with God genuine? Is it real or is it just something that's on the outside? Is it just religion? Have you allowed your leader's relationship with God to be your sole source of spiritual growth, or do you also have a real relationship with the Lord? Do you spend personal time with God through His Word and prayer? You can't tell me that you've got a personal walk with God if you don't pray and study your Bible every day. You can't say I'm walking with God if you're not in the Word and not in prayer. It's simply not true. If you're not doing those things, you don't have a walk with God. Are you seeking to grow in your walk with God? Hey, friends, this has got to hit home with some of us. A lot of us that have been in church for a little while, some of you have been in church a long while. You don't want to call any names, but I could, right? Some of us have been in church a long time. Some of you got brought in this church, you know, you were born on Saturday and you were in church on Sunday, right? I wonder sometimes if some of you weren't like born in like in the back and they just brought you in here or something. I mean, some of us have been in church a long time. And if you've been in church a long time and you grow to a certain point in your spiritual walk, I think it's easy for some of us to become complacent and we think that we've arrived. Well, let me remind you, as I often do, if you're not exactly like Jesus, you haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet. There's not a man or a woman or a boy on this planet who has arrived yet. None of us have attained. We're not there yet. So we've got to continue to leave those things behind and reach forth to those things that are before and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to keep growing in the Lord. Are you seeking to grow? Beyond being sure that your relationship with the Lord is solid, you also need to encourage those who follow you to grow in their personal walk. Now, everybody's going to be accountable personally for their actions and decisions, but there are important things that we can do to point them in the right direction. So first of all, biblical leaders have a personal abiding walk with God. Number two, biblical leaders attach their followers to God, not to themselves. Biblical leaders attach their followers to God, not to themselves. It's not about me, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Our heart's desire has always got to be to put Christ above everything else. I want you to notice that word there at the end of the verse. That word is preeminence. It means that He is before all things. He's above all things. He's the highest of the highest. It's not, that word's not prominence. Not a prominent place, but the preeminent place. The place above all things. And He's got to have that place in our lives. Biblical leaders attach their followers to God, not to themselves. And I think it's easy for us, because we're prideful creatures, to kind of like it when people look up at us. We kind of in us. When you're the boss and people are coming to you to ask you what to do, it's easy to be lifted up. But it's always got to be about Him. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips." God knows how to bless those who are following Him in ways bigger than they could dream of. Heard about a pastor who, wanted to make sure that everybody had things lined out for him. He literally got his staff together and asked them if they had people working on his birthday celebration yet. I think he might have missed the point. The main job of a leader is not to get people to follow you, to love you, but to get them to love and follow God. I want my kids to love God. I want my kids to follow God. Of course, I want my kids to follow me and love me. But when I live for the Lord, when I'm following Him, my goal is not, I don't want them to stop here. I want them to go right past here and on to follow Jesus. We want to encourage people to love God more than they love us. We want to leave an impact on people so that they'll serve God with their whole hearts, whether we're here or not. Number three, biblical leaders should talk more about God than they do about themselves. Biblical leaders should talk more about God than they talk about themselves. If you leave church and you say, "Man, what a great message That's encouraging. But if you leave church and you say, oh, what a Savior. We want to lift up Christ. Paul said that he wouldn't glory in anything except for the cross of Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that Jesus is lifted up. Number four, biblical leaders must teach commitment to principle rather than places or people. Biblical leaders must teach commitment to principle rather than to places or people. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." What does that mean? Well, Paul said, I'm following Jesus, and I want you to follow me as long as I'm following Jesus. The implication would be that if he's not following Jesus, you should what? Stop following him. If I, as a leader, take even one step away from God, the people following me are either going to follow me into error, or they're going to stop following me and stay true to the Word of God. What we've got to learn to do is always follow the Word of God. We're going to make choices. Be committed to principle rather than places or people. The Word of God is what makes us who we are. It's not the building. It's not the pastor. It's not even the people necessarily. It's the Word of God that holds us together. It's the principles of this book that bind us together. And it's vital that we all seek to follow the principles of the Word of God, not places or people. I think that's hard. It's a difficult thing because God has established leaders. I think it's a difficult thing because my kids have a mandate from God to follow me, and guess what? Dad makes mistakes sometimes. So what do? Well, I lead by example by this. When I make a mistake, I need to own that. If you've never apologized or needed to apologize to your kids, then you're a far better parent than I've ever been. There's times when I got to go to my kids and say, I'm sorry. I messed up. Why would I do that? How can they respect you if you mess up? Well, they're not stupid. They know when you mess up. So what do? I want to be an example because remember, I'm following Jesus. And when I mess up with Jesus, what do I need to do? I need to repent. And I need to be that example to my kids. So we see the principles of a biblical leader. Let's notice next principles of a biblical follower. Not only are we all leading somebody, we're all following someone. And biblical followers are going to recognize some key principles to ensure that their relationship with their leader is secondary to their relationship with the Lord. The relationship with the leader has to be secondary to the relationship with the Lord. Biblical followers, number one, know God. They don't just know about him. Biblical followers know God, not just about him. There's a danger in followers becoming so attached to the leader that they substitute the leader's relationship with God for their own. What do I mean? I mean that instead of truly knowing God, they only know about what God has done through the life of the leader. They know what the leader has said about God, but they don't have a deep personal knowledge and a relationship with God. Now, how many of you know who the President of the United States is? How many of you know a little bit about him? Got an idea of what his principles are? What his beliefs are? Do you have any idea what his personality is? Listen, whether you love him or whether you hate him, you know something about the president. I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock the last 5 years to not know something about Donald J. Trump. You're like, oh, he's the president? I thought he was just on that show, you know, firing people. Yeah, he's the president of the United States, and most of us know at least something about him. Some of us know a lot about him. Most of you probably know more about him than I do, but We know something about his personality. We know something about that he's a billionaire. We know something about he's the president. We know something about his attitude and all that kind of stuff. But does anybody in the room know him? Like, anybody got him in their contacts list? You can call him up anytime. Like, hey, Don, how's it going? Anybody? I mean, there's going to be somebody on live stream that's going to be messaging and be like, oh, yeah, I know him. Go way back. Right? Some of you have been watching some of the conventions, and one of the guys that spoke was Herschel Walker the other night, and he's been a personal friend of Donald Trump's for like 37 years. Okay? He knows him. I know about Donald Trump, but Herschel Walker knows him. See the difference? I don't want to just know about God. I don't want to just know about Jesus. I want to know him. Amen. And I don't want you to just know about him. I want you to know him. I want you to have a real personal relationship with him. If you are a biblical follower, you don't just know about God, you know him, you've trusted in him, and you're walking with him. You know, you can learn about the miracles, you can memorize the verses, you can understand the attributes of God, you can know all about his omnipotence and his omnipresence and all of those things, but if you don't know him personally, what good is it? What good is it? In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul says, that I may know him. You see that? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The greater suffering that Paul went through, he said, the more I suffer, the closer I get to Jesus. And I want to know him. He welcomed those sufferings for the cause of Christ. He rejoiced in those things because when he went through that, he knew Jesus better. You knew Jesus better. By the way, we need to learn to give thanks in everything, even the hard things that we don't understand, because when we give thanks in those things, those are the things that help us grow closer to him, to know him, not just know about him. Biblical followers know God. They don't just know about him. Number two, biblical followers experience God at work in their lives. They don't just hear about it. They experience God at work in their lives. They don't just hear about it. I love to hear testimonies. I love it when we have a church share time and people stand up and say, man, God's been doing this in my life, or I've been praying about this and God's answered that prayer. I love to hear those testimonies. But you know what? I love to live those testimonies. I love to pray about something and have God answer that prayer. I love to see circumstances just unfold as God begins to work things out just perfectly. And, you know, from the other side, before you just go, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do. And God just works it all out. And you go on the other side, you look back and say, man, look what God did. But I don't want you to just hear about those things. I want you to experience those things. To see God at work. Man, it's refreshing. Spiritually, it's refreshing, renewing to your soul when you see God working in your life. When God's answered prayers, or just something simple. When you get up in the morning and you open your Bible and you begin to study and you've got some stuff on your mind and God just pulls those scriptures out and puts them right in your heart. And it just hits home. And God just reveals truth to you that applies to what you're going through today. Man, this was written thousands of years ago, and God just brings it out, and it just fits perfect for what you need day by day. God does that. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thou knowest not. God wants biblical followers to experience God at work in their lives, not just hear about it. Next, biblical followers rely on the Lord, not on the leader, for strength and wisdom. Biblical followers rely on the Lord, not on the leader, for strength and wisdom. Is there wisdom in the multitude of counselors? That's what my Bible says. It's important for us to seek godly counsel. If you're a child under the authority of your parents, and if your parents are alive, you should go to your parents for godly counsel. You should be able to go to your teachers at church and get godly counsel. You should be able to come to your pastor and get godly counsel. And that's all good. But if you only go to people for wisdom and strength and counsel and you don't go to God, you've missed the boat. Missed the boat. It's wise to get biblical counsel, but there's not a human being on the planet that can be the source of wisdom and direction for somebody else. You have to seek God yourself rather than relying on somebody else. I think you ought to ask people for counsel. I think it's a great thing to do. When you're faced with trouble, when you're trying to figure out how to deal with the situation, go talk to people, but not at the exclusion of talking to God. This is the doctrine we learned about in our starting point class. One of the things we talked about just this past Sunday was the priesthood of the believer. Aren't you glad to know tonight that you don't have to drive somewhere in town and go into a building and talk to some other person in order to get to God? Aren't you glad tonight that you have access to the very throne of God Almighty through Jesus Christ the righteous? That there's no veil separating us from God. That you can have direct access to God. That you can come boldly into His presence and make your requests known. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We can go to God directly for ourselves. People are helpful, but God is necessary. People are helpful, but God is necessary. And biblical followers rely on the Lord, not on the leader, for strength and wisdom. So that leads us to this, our ultimate leader. Our ultimate leader. Jesus Christ must be our highest authority. He's the one leader that's never going to change. You just think about growing up, the different people who have had leadership positions in your life. Obviously, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. Anybody remember their kindergarten teacher? Anybody? First grade? Oh, yeah, I forgot about. Anybody remember their first grade teacher? Okay, there we go. I remember both. By the time I came around, we needed kindergarten too. First grade wasn't enough. We needed more. I think about the leaders that have come and gone in my life, and it's changed. At least yearly. I think about the leaders that I had growing up in church. I think about my Sunday school teachers. I think about the deacons in the church growing up. I think about pastors that I've had in my life. Think about all the influence, all the leadership that's changed in my life. But there's one who never changes. There's one who is unchanging. Jesus is never going to go somewhere else, because He's everywhere all at once. Jesus is never going to get tired. He's never going to grow weary and quit. Jesus, although He died once, He rose again, and He'll never die again. The most godly leader who's ever walked the face of this planet fell short of the glory of God. But Jesus is the glory of God. God is eternal. God is always constant. Now, God ordained the leader-follower relationship. And as long as leaders in our lives are loving and following the Lord, we should look up to the godly leaders. We should follow them as they follow Christ. But if they choose to walk away from Christ, if their authority is contradictory to the authority of the Word of God, then we have to respectfully disagree. We have to choose to follow Christ above all else. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to know the Bible. We have to know the Bible. How are you going to know if the leader's leading biblically if you don't know the Bible? And next, we have to know the God of the Bible ourselves. We have to have a real personal relationship with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Do you see it? Paul said, when we came to Thessalonica, we came preaching the word of God in power. You know what kind of people we were. They were examples to them. They suffered a lot of affliction, but they stayed faithful to God. And whatever happened, they just stayed faithful, kept preaching the gospel. So that when the people in Thessalonica heard the gospel and they saw the testimony of those missionaries, they believed in the Lord. They first began to follow the missionaries. They followed Paul and the other missionaries, but they became not only followers of them, but they became followers of God. And they became a great church with an incredible testimony and an awesome evangelistic reach to the region all around them, preaching the gospel everywhere that they went. This church at Thessalonica stands as a great, great testimony of what our church ought to be today. Why? Because we've learned to follow the leaders God's put in our life to follow the Lord himself. That we're following him. Things are going to change in your life. Leaders are going to change. I guess that's the only constant, right? Change. How we deal with change will have an impact on how we live for the Lord. One of the biggest changes that can happen in our life is the change of leadership from year to year, from season to season in life. But if you're following Jesus first, then you can stay faithful through it all. Let's don't be like Israel when they only followed as long as they had a strong leader. Let's be the kind of people who are following Jesus no matter what anybody else is doing. Tonight, let's stand together. I want to have an opportunity to respond to the Word of God tonight. I hope that there's been some conviction in your heart. This lesson convicted me about what kind of leader I am, not only as a pastor, but especially as a parent. What kind of leader am I? Am I leading biblically? I hope you'll examine your heart tonight and think about that. What kind of an example am I leading? Leaving for those that are following me. Anybody who's following me, are they going to follow Jesus because they're following me? And it's convicting about being a good follower too. I want to follow biblically and keep Christ first in everything. If he's convicting your heart about any decision that you need to make tonight, will you come and let's sing Just As I Am. Let's sing Just As I Am. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You come.